Easter should be the best day of the year. It's a celebration of the resurrection of hope. Come to Crossroads Church and celebrate an empty tomb and a living hope. Info and service times at crossroads.net.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And it was a great basketball night last night. I don't want to say great basketball night.
Great was
a well. Hour. It was good in that both our teams won. The Rockets taking care of business.
Yeah, even that feels a little much.
Yeah, it's a little much.
I mean, struggled with the Bulls.
Yeah,
this feels accurate.
Probably more like it. But
didn't shoot well from three is an accurate statement.
No, but however, you did have Jabari breaking out finally. What was it? 0 for 20.
He was on a bad run.
He was on one of the worst runs ever. And he came up with two huge, and then did you see the second one where he just stood there like this?
Yeah.
What? It's what I do. What?
It's what I do. I mean, I actually like Jabari a lot. I'm a big Jabari Smith fan. I love his mentality. I think he's, when all the rest of the team were full of vibes, he was serious about ball.
No.
I have a lot of love for Jabari. I think one of the things he has to do is shoot threes at a 38% clip or higher. I just think that's, you get a lot of open looks in the corner from the guys who you have on your team. You have a penetrator in Amen. You have a playmaker in Alpi. You have somebody who's going to demand attention in KD and who can get ball movement and hit you open in that corner. Your corner three, your job is to block a shot here and there, grab rebounds, defend two positions, and make threes at a 38% clip. That's what it is. And
well, he's never done that.
Well, I know, but that's what he's got to get to. Like, you have corner shots. You have corner threes that are going to be open.
I feel like he has been good enough over the last year, couple of years, actually. And it feels like it's a huge regression this year, but it's really not.
It's not.
At his numbers.
No, it's just been a bad run.
Yeah.
It hasn't been a bad year for him.
No, but he's been bad in the losses.
And it's that magnified.
That's it.
Yeah, actually, he's been really bad in the losses.
Yeah.
And so in a way, I mean, I talked about it yesterday, but in a way, when you start seeing stuff like that, it happens in baseball too, where things become tied to somebody. Wins and losses become, in a weird way, you start saying, is this tied to this guy? Is that tied to Durant? Well, Durant's always going to play at a level. He's always going to play at a certain level. Alperen Şengün Alpi's usually going to play at a level. There's a little more variance with him. It's the guys who have the variance. They're the ones that are the X factors.
Well,
they always are.
Well, X factor, I don't know. Jabari is a cog. He's a vital part of this offense.
Well,
when you take 13 shots, 21 shots, 13 shots, 11, 13, 12, 16, this is his last, this is how many shots he takes in a game. That's kind of an important guy.
No, when I say X factor, he's kind of the secret little one you circle. Yeah. A good game for him, and you're actually way better. A bad game, and you're way worse than normal. Mm-hmm. When I say X factor, I mean he's actually sneaky important because the other guys, like I said, have less variance. He has a little more variance in his game. Reed Shepard has a lot of variance. He can have a really good game or a not-so-good game from a shooting and turnover standpoint. Those two guys are probably the most high-variance players on the team, in the rotation. So that's why a lot of times when you see really good games for either one of them, it's a W.
Yeah. I'm looking at his he had one good game and a loss. He was 10 of 19. But otherwise, it's just been, you know, a 6 of 11, that ain't bad. 5 of 18, 6 of 16, 6 of 13, that's not horrible. 2 of 13, 6 of 21, 4 of 13. I mean, it is.
Yeah, that you start hitting that. Those are recent numbers.
Those are tough numbers.
I recognize those.
Yep. Those are tough numbers. But he came up with a big, and he just, well, we've got sound from him. It was, you know, he came up with the biggest shots because this was this game, oh my God.
It's like, you were behind.
It's 3 minutes left, and you're like, what are you guys doing?
Losing in the third
quarter. And then all of a sudden, Jabari hits a three. They come back down. He hits a little mid-range. They come back down. I mean, they're on a fast break, and Kevin Durant hits him at the top of the key. He doesn't hesitate. He just fires a three, and it goes in. It was like Jabari felt it. Jabari finally went, you know what? Enough of this pussyfooting around. I'm gonna dominate right here.
We're supposed to say pee-footing is what Dell said.
No, you can say pussyfooting.
Dell, is he allowed to say pee, the p-word footing?
Well, not around Rex Ryan, but I can say it. I can say it.
Can you say somebody is when they're screwing around, they're D-ing around? Can you say that? I mean, that's not.
Yeah, but
that's not referencing. Well, that's not referencing.
No.
Well, that's the same. It's the same way though. When you're pussyfooting, you're not really.
You're lollygagging.
Yeah.
The
same thing when you're dicking around.
Yeah. Right. Well,
it's really the same thing.
Yeah, but it's a little. No.
First caller who says somebody's dicking around wins a
what
trip to
Dell's house,
Rice football next year.
No, senor. No, senor. No, senor. No, senor.
How about you get to sit and watch the national championship at Dell's house?
Hey, yeah, that's him. Actually.
How about how?
Actually,
I don't like you at all. The only reason I'm here is they pay me.
Okay.
If they stop paying me, I would never show up.
He's gonna communicate through sound bites today. By the way, and I do think that I actually, Dell, this is actually a serious question, and it came to light yesterday during the show. On a scale of 1 to 10, how nervous are you about having a new crop of interns with John here who have to learn? Like, because it's always Russian roulette. We have, you know, there's five or six new interns, and then you're like, huh, which one is going to be the bullet that knocks us out?
What are you talking about?
Because they get offended and decide they're going to take it to.
How do the I Supreme offend Court. Interns? How do I never
they
even
hear
seen
everything
them.
You say because they're cutting it up. They're cutting it up. And they might not take you the way that we take you.
Well,
take you seriously.
If they're going to be that soft, America, get out the business. Get out the business, intern.
Well, they're and not in the business.
Yeah. All right? It's not an actual excuse. Soft. Hey, you're soft because I said something. That doesn't work anymore. Yeah. I don't know if you've heard.
Yeah.
You can't go, hey, they're too soft, and then all the problems go away.
I just did.
And it won't work. I'm just saying. Hey,
if you're soft.
You're yelling at people who aren't even offended yet, but we don't know what they're.
Well, Lance tells me they are.
He doesn't know that.
No, I don't.
He's making an
assumption. I didn't say they were. I just said, how nervous are you that we're going to have one that is going to be super sensitive?
And let's be clear. We have had issues, not John himself, but there have been times where there have been conversations with an intern taking it to a higher up and say,
hey. Oh, well.
Oh, yeah, well.
So let's not pretend like it.
It wasn't us. It wasn't this show.
No.
But it's happened before. It's happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
And sometimes somebody was they were just being nice. They were just checking up
maybe.
On something.
Or stalking.
No, nothing else happened other than that.
And I'm not even discussing that one specifically. Yeah. It has happened another time too. So, but John has not been at fault.
If they come through the other side, they're mentally tough. Sam is mentally tough. She deals with it today.
She's a bully.
Yeah, she's a bully too. So she actually fits. Kenneth. Fit. Who was the guy that I said, hey, keep everything here?
Allen.
Allen, you kept
you kept looking at Allen like he was someone who was going to ruin
your career. I had to make sure that Allen set the tone like, hey, Allen, whatever you hear during the breaks stays here,
Allen. Showed up at our Christmas party his semester after it ended.
So did Kenneth and Sean.
Well, you were
our interns love
sure,
most
sure
of our interns
said
love us.
Offensive to Allen.
Our interns love us. Oh, the girl who I'm blanking on her name who works for the Rockets now was our intern. There's one who works for the Rockets, and then we had the other intern who now works for us in the promotions department. Lexi. So, you see, when you come out on the other side, you're tougher. Sean Mapes was an intern of ours.
Mary, who worked for HBO at one point, now I don't know if she's in Colorado now.
Are
you,
though?
Well, she where that came from.
Mary was, Mary was a girl.
Are you, though?
She was a softball player, and that's, are you, though, as John said, I'm an ally for women. Yeah. And she said,
are you, though?
Well, we didn't lead with the...
You always talked about
national championship.
You always talked about her mom.
I said,
constantly.
Hey, hi, Mary. How's your mom? I met her mom. Mom, she brought her mom in. That's
remember
why.
That time where Sam's mom? You kept ad talk. You kept Sam's mom was at the golf tournament, and John's dropping the biggest bombs ever. And her mom's just sitting back there. Now she didn't hear as well.
That's
in
the
one
only interest I remember. Sam and Annabelle.
It's Abigail.
I'm not even.
You don't remember that Mapes was an intern?
Mapes was an intern.
Yeah.
Dell was an intern.
Was he?
A long, long time
ago.
Raheel was an intern.
Raheel
at
was
6'10".
At
6'10",
Actually, everybody was an intern for us now. Now that I think of Joe George interned.
I think
Branham interned for us back in 2021.
Yeah, Joe George is a
during
higher.
During COVID, was Branham interning?
No.
Okay.
Branham was not an intern during COVID.
Okay.
How old that man is? He had a kid at that point, I think.
I just get confused.
No, he was not an intern. What's wrong with you?
I just get confused.
You get confused?
Yeah, I want you to play that.
Was he at 6?
You want me to save that?
Was
he at the Brian?
I was joking, but was he an intern at 1560?
No.
Okay, see?
No.
It's a bit I'm doing. BMAC, I worked with him at 790.
Yeah, look.
You were
an intern? I was never an intern.
I was an intern at KSEV for Barry Warner.
Which is probably why I have no empathy for anyone.
I probably said.
He said for anyone, not just interns.
No, you're a serial killer, you're not serial killer. You're a sociopath.
Yeah.
Which is why you have no.
Right.
There's a big difference between sociopath and serial killer.
I guess. Yeah. I hope.
You can be a sociopath without being a murderer.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, I'm not giving you permission.
I see a lot of them on Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah. They're sociopaths on Twitter.
They're sociopaths. Did you guys see that there's an investigation? Honest to God, I woke up this morning. Yahoo Sports sent me an email, said C.J. Stroud being investigated for his game on Monday night.
That's not true.
It was on Yahoo Sports. I think they might have deleted it because I went through there. But I opened it. I read it. You know who's calling for an investigation?
Who?
Le'Veon Bell.
Are you sure this somebody didn't screenshot? Was it screenshot or did somebody have it real? Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Somebody saying that on Twitter is one thing.
Yes, right. Yeah. But Yahoo Sports actually did an article on it.
You sure?
Yes.
Well, they did an article on Le'Veon Bell saying that?
On Le'Veon Bell
saying
it.
Oh, well, these writers are weak.
I mean, honestly.
They literally write articles off of a tweet.
Yes. Win, lose, or draw, C.J. Stroud needs investigated ASAP. I mean, that's sick. This was how he wrote it.
Yeah.
Win, lose, or draw, C.J. Stroud needs investigated ASAP. And then he tweeted... First he tweeted, C.J. Stroud with us. And they put...
Steelers. Steelers, yeah.
He put the Steelers colors in hearts.
I didn't know if it was with us because he refused to play football for them and then left.
Yeah, right, well, right.
Just refused, with a contract refused. Yeah. And actually, I give him a lot of credit. I can't hate that man because he sat out money.
He
literally lost a year of football.
Because he... Well, good for
he
him.
Stuck... Hey,
Stuck
you
to his
stick
guns.
With it. I got nothing I can say.
I don't want to say stuck to his guns. I don't know what kind of gun person he is. But actually, Yahoo Sports did an article. I was like, "Are you kidding?"
Yeah,
me?
That's embarrassing.
And you're quoting Le'Veon Bell.
That's an embarrassing state.
But all of the tweets behind it were, I mean, investigated for worst player of the year. Houston defense looking at C.J. Stroud out there. It's the Batman Doberman pincher.
Look, he just
played. That's one aspect of his play and people responding to it. There's a lot of people going, you know, it actually played pretty well.
The head coach, and we'll hear from him about CJ's game.
There was plenty.
He didn't look like he had a happy face. They flashed to him on all those turnovers and fumbles, and it did not look like I never saw a rapid hand clap like Mac Brown used to give.
No, not.
Whenever something bad would go bad, something would go bad, and Mac Brown would give you the rapid hand clap. I never saw D'Amico do that.
Nope.
See him say, "That's what we do." After the pick six, after Bullocks, he goes, "That's what we do."
Yep. All right, and here's what we do: we speak for H.R.P. That's what we do around here. Because
what an appropriate time after our first segment talk about H.R.P.
And we needed H.R.P. for that little intern incident. Yes, we did. And so you know what? Sometimes you need them, sometimes you don't. But here's the deal. When you need them, then you're lucky that they're there because you don't want to mess up any kind of an investigation in your own company. What happened? How do we treat it? What do we do about it? How do we have to fire this person? How do we go about firing this person? All kinds of important stuff that could come back to haunt you if you don't do everything right. You got to have HR, and you got to have it done perfectly. And if it's not, you could be in trouble. How about payroll, all right? I mean, we've got a one-person payroll department, one person, and that's Laura. And she's actually part-time. And here's the deal. HR&P takes care of everything else. It's amazing, amazing. And we got commission. We got hourly. We've got salary. We got every way you could possibly have to pay a person. You've got it here. And it's not a problem for HR&P because they have the unbelievable technology. You're looking for the best way to get that HR and that payroll to your people. We love HR&P and you will too. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. So, I don't know. Lance has a segment here in which he wants to lay down the rules for
interns. No, that's not true. I'm just introducing
Xavier to the show.
Well, we were talking about interns.
Right.
And who knows who's going to be the next intern that makes it huge like Sam did off the show.
Yeah.
You know, like, you just never.
Huge like Sam did.
Huge. You just never knew who it's going to be. And I walked out there and I said, oh, there was a new intern. All the new interns were here. Was that yesterday or day before yesterday?
On Monday.
Yeah, it was Monday.
So
there was like five or six new interns. And Xavier's out there and I'm like, oh. He's out there listening to what we just talked about, so I thought I would bring him in.
What did you get out of that segment, Xavier?
I loved it. I loved you guys' banter between the two of you anyways, but I mean, the biggest thing about it was be light and easy. I was like, no sensitive people around.
Whatever happens in this studio stays in this studio.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, don't tell them nothing and don't give them anything. Exactly. Never rat on your friends.
Right. Correct.
Right. Also, that's another thing.
Just so you know, there's no Timothy Busfield stuff going on here.
Timothy Busfield.
Do you want to explain to him what that means?
I don't know what that means.
He just got arrested for diddling.
Wow.
Wait, who's Timothy Busfield?
He's an actor. Red-handed actor. You'd recognize
West Wing
him.
And Field of Dreams. He was the brother who didn't want him to build
the
house.
I know the name. I'll look him up. I'm sure I'll see him. So, wow. That's not great. So you know the rules, right? And you say you listen to the show. You know the show.
Exactly, yes.
So you can't be super sensitive now.
Wait, tell me, your dad drove you when you were going to school and you heard
I'm a little older than that, but okay. I was like, we do listen to it occasionally.
You were in grammar school when we were born.
No. Yeah. You weren't born when we started our show.
Right.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah, so you could have listened to the show when you were in fifth grade. I mean, when you were a kindergartner. But so you listen with your dad. So you correct. Know the deal.
Yes, yes.
All right, what's your dad's name? Shout out to
Martin. Right, I was like, Martin. Shut up, my dad, Martin.
All right, Martin. Oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah. John Shomey, Timothy Busfield. Okay, so you know kind of the way this works.
Of course.
Okay, just keep that in mind. And when food comes, you have to eat. You have to wait until you get permission.
Wait, no.
Do we not get free Taqueria Sarandas? It was like,
you will, but you just okay. don't go first.
Okay.
There's a pecking order.
Hold on a second.
There's a pecking order.
No free Coors
hold
midday?
On a second.
No free Coors, he asked.
Oh, man. Oh, goodness.
Can I please get some food? Please, more
porridge. More porridge.
I mean, why are you saying... They can eat whenever they want.
No, they can't.
Yeah, they can.
No, you like the sales staff to eat all your food first?
It's almost like, is this almost famous where the girls that follow the bands, they got to wait until they all eat, make sure that they're all...
Yeah, actually...
And this is how he's treating
the interns? Yeah, actually, that's exactly what
it is. So a couple
of
things you're going to have to know, Xavier. First, Lance is very protective of food, whether he procures it or someone else. Yeah. He wants first dibs.
That's right. That's the way God intended.
And he'll also take your dibs, depending on how things are going.
Yeah, he might, because he's known to do that before.
Okay. That's
he has stolen hamburgers.
That was way overblown.
You stole an intern's hamburger. Yeah.
She tried to eat first.
There is so much.
Tatiana, you're great. Lovely girl, but don't try to eat.
I would just say be careful around Lance and his food, and you'll be fine. Other than that, you'll be fine.
That sounds good. I mean, I like it already. Yep. I'm already enjoying myself.
You know the rules.
Just eat whenever you want.
Where do you go to school?
Don't worry about it.
I'm sorry?
Where do you go to school?
University of Houston, Clear Lake.
Okay.
Ah, Dell's neck of the woods.
I did go there, yes.
Yeah. How about that? Dell's alma mater.
This is my last year.
Not alma mater.
Broadcast journalism or what?
Not alma mater.
Communications with a minor in marketing.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Are you playing for a natty like Dell's other school?
Nah.
No, you're not playing.
But University of Houston basketball could be
Not really. Not really. When I went there, it was just a business school. They have expanded obviously you heard him communications. But when I went there, it was strictly like, hey, you're either into business or computers, or you don't come here. But they've expanded their curriculum.
Do they have a portal?
For football players?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
They don't have any sports teams, I believe.
They have a mascot now.
We have a mascot. When I went to UH downtown, that's where you get your portal programs and stuff like that.
You're hitting all the satellite campuses.
Yeah, correct.
There's one. I went to one out in, Cinco Ranch years and years ago. I don't even know if it's still there. I assume it is. There's lots of stuff in Cinco Ranch. Now they probably have one in Fulshear. Since that's the new hot spot in Texas.
It is. I mean, that's like right on the border. I mean, that's when that used to be just cattle.
Now everyone's like, oh, you've been to Fulshear? Like, for what? Too far.
Now that's the outer loop.
Well, appreciate it, Xavier. Just want to lay down law. I'll introduce you to people since you're absolutely. A listener. If you weren't a listener, if you didn't know the deal, you would have never made it in.
So.
Listening has its privileges.
Congratulations.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now get back to answering Xavier. No phone calls.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All right, you want to call and chat with Xavier?
He's going to meet... Gilbert, too, at some point. Well, on the phone, through the phone.
If he does that.
Or Tom, or whatever his secret name is.
Right, whatever is his name. However he's going to fool you today.
All right, thanks, Xavier.
Like he
Thank
fools
you so much,
us.
Guys. You
All right, man, help. There's Xavier right here on ESPN 97.5. Okay, so we mentioned that we would hear, D'Amico's take is a little different than most everybody else's, but so here is... I can't blame him. The question was, there was a question out there. Does he put in Davis Mills at any point? And the answer is absolutely not. He will never go to Davis Mills, pull CJ because of his play. Unless it's like out of hand. You know, if it's you're down 25 with 4 minutes left, then he might pull him.
Right.
There is if the game is still on the line, there is zero chance. Even though in some instances, and maybe even the other night, would Davis Mills have been a better option?
Yeah, I think. I mean, it was. Now CJ made a couple throws. Davis Mills has made some throws this year too. That what we saw was nothing more than average quarterback play on the throws. Like I thought, the one throw to Christian Kirk in the first half where he layered it in, that was a really good throw. That's not everyone can make that throw. The rest of the throws were pretty just standard throws for a quarterback. I think Davis would have made fewer mistakes. I'm not calling Davis Mills a better quarterback. In no way do I want to replace C.J. Stroud with Davis Mills. But what I am saying, in that particular game, just like sometimes one pitcher is better than another pitcher. For the whole season, he won't be. Well, but every once in a while, a guy has an off game.
Anytime you relieved Randy Johnson or Roger Clemens, you're bringing in a worse pitcher.
Right. Now, my point is, you sometimes have a good pitcher. Hunter Brown had some stinkers last year.
Yeah, so you
and every once in a while, you'd come off the bench with Ort. And maybe Ort was better than Hunter Brown. I don't know that that actually exists in the real world for even a single day. But you know what I mean. And so for that game, yes, Davis Mills probably would have made fewer mistakes, run the offense more efficiently. Yeah. Now, I wouldn't go. Now, when you do that, this is not a video game. When you do that, feelings get hurt. It can create tensions. It might not have. Does CJ strike you as a guy whose feelings would get hurt? He does me.
And listen, if they were way down, if they were down and CJ was playing like that, it's a different deal. But they were still winning. They were still winning, barely, 7-6. They were hanging on, and CJ was terrible, but they were still winning. So there's no way that he does that. And I don't think if they're, again, there's no way he does it anyway. CJ is their guy, and they're going to stick with him no matter what, no matter how terribly he plays. Here's what DeMeco liked about what he saw from CJ the other night.
I love that, you know, we had some bad plays that happened for CJ, right? And he didn't waver. You can easily go in the tank. Right, but he didn't waver, and that's who he is. He's a resilient young man who was able to bounce back. You know, anybody could go in the tank. You drop the ball a few times, throw up, like, you keep battling. Like, the game isn't over. It's a 60-minute football game. You keep battling until the end, and that's what he did. He made some big, big throws for us, right? Some huge passes that allowed us to get in striking distance and go score.
I was talking to Uncle Freddie yesterday, and we were talking about, this isn't about CJ, it's about DeMeco. And he said, you know, I kind of used to get upset because DeMeco wouldn't, you know, was so, he didn't show enough emotion on the sideline, but he's even killed. I said, that's exactly, like, it's one of the reasons I like him. I don't need a guy who goes up and down, up and down. Those guys burn out. Those guys burn out their locker rooms.
I don't even want, but I also don't want a statue like Cignetti. I mean, I think Cignetti is awesome, and he's
not a statue. He's not a statue in practice. In where his words mean something.
But during the game, positive things happen, and he won't even crack a smile.
What's wrong with that? Yeah. Saban didn't smile.
No, I know, and they're great coaches. But I mean, it is an emotional game too.
Yeah, but you don't. But some people,
I don't want him. I don't want him being so angry. Although both Cignetti and Saban get so angry.
You don't want a phony who fakes. Like, you also, you could have Professor Positive like C.J. Fleck rowing the boat at Minnesota.
Yeah, or you could have a Robert Saleh. I love the way Robert Saleh celebrates.
Saleh was a bad head coach. Defense.
Well, he was with the Jets.
No, I know, but he hasn't proven himself as a head coach.
Like,
your emotion doesn't make you a good coach.
No. But
that's just for you.
Well, for me, I don't want a statue. I mean, what about Andy Reid celebrated some with his team when they did good, positive things.
But DeMeco, this is who he is, and his players love
DeMeco
it.
DeMeco does,
and his players love it.
Yeah, he does. No, DeMeco is running down the sideline. He was jumping up and down. Yes, this is what we do. This is what we do. DeMeco, I don't see that he's that.
No, DeMeco is. He doesn't. He's not an emotional. He doesn't get emotionally over the top. And I'm fine with that. That's how A.J. Hinch was. I like it. Not all coaches are like that.
Oh, you're talking about when negative things happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when positive things happen, DeMeco is very demonstrative.
I don't need you to be – you don't have to be anything you're not. For me, I just need you to be a good coach.
Yeah. That's all I need you to be. When things are bad is when I want my head coach to keep his head.
I need him always to. And I don't care if he gets – like, Cignetti, whatever he's doing is working.
Oh yeah,
that is working. And sometimes when you don't show that, well, what do the kids want? They want to prove themselves for dad's love.
But here's the deal, though. One of his players last week said the thing about Cignetti is he's never happy, and he answered that question. He goes, "Oh, I'm happy when I get in the coach's room."
Like Saban, then,
yeah,
isn't he?
Just like,
man, he's
just
a lot like him.
A lot like him.
Did you see the text where I'll show it to you? It's text Mendoza Cignetti. This is hilarious. You're going to absolutely love this. He sent a text to Cignetti.
Fernando.
Fernando did. Shares a recent text he had. And he sent this meme. And it's this, it's from, what is it, Rise? What's the Up? Remember the animated show, the animated
with
movie?
The balloon?
It's Up, with the balloon.
Yeah.
And see, there's the kid, there's the balloon, and there's the old man. And goes, he sent this to Coach Cignetti. Mendoza, he shared this with people. He said, they're saying this is me and you. Laughing cry emoji, laughing cry emoji, laughing cry emoji, with Cignetti being the old man.
Yeah.
This is what Cignetti said. Shut the F up. Don't ever send me bullshit stuff like that again. We have a game next week. Yes, coach. And I was like, I love that. I mean, we have another Saban. I'm sad that Saban's gone from coaching, because there's something about his curmudgeonly ways that, and I'm glad we have a new Saban. Somebody who tells his player to shut the F up when he's trying to have fun with his coach. Don't ever send me bull bleep like this again. Now, I've thought that to people who sent me stuff, only because I just didn't want to get stuff.
Well, it was about your brisket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not. That's unfortunate. Don't send text.
Don't ever
about
do that.
That.
Don't ever do that
don't
again.
Don't ever do that.
All right.
My brisket's
anyway,
good.
Anyway, D'Amico liked what he saw to see. Hey, listen. CJ did keep on bad. And he's saying the exact opposite thing of what you say about CJ.
What's that?
That CJ gets down, that CJ doesn't seem like he's.
I don't think when do you see. Oh, I mean, I wouldn't really back off.
You don't like
this.
His demeanor when things go bad.
Right.
He's got a pouty face.
Body language.
D'Amico says the exact opposite. It doesn't matter to CJ. He's going to fight back. He's always
going to. He had no face on the sideline the other day.
He had zero.
I didn't think he showed negative or positive. Anything. I just think CJ, what my problem, I don't care what your faces look like. I really don't. For a coach or a player, I care how you respond. And when adversity strikes, and I mean real adversity, not, don't tell me I dropped a fumble adversity or I threw an interception adversity. I'm talking about when you're down. I'm talking about the Jacksonville comeback for Davis Mills.
Mm-mm.
I'm talking about when your team is losing, not when you have a defense that's having literally an historic performance and you don't have as much pressure on you. I mean, when your first half stinks, can you pull it out and have a great second half? He did against the Titans this year. You know, that's great. That's nice.
But he created a lot of zone problems.
Well, but that often happens.
And the defense. Did you see the stat where the Texans are like fourth in the league off of turnovers by the defense in scoring, which is surprising that the Texans score that much, but they're first in the league stopping teams when the offense,
which happened
turns
the other
over.
Day.
Yeah.
Gave them a three.
Unbelievable.
What they stopped one drive for a three, and then they stopped another turnover for a three, right?
One of the turnovers.
Didn't the Steelers have one?
In the Steelers' own end. Yeah, they got 3 points off three turnovers.
Yeah.
Steelers got three points off three turnovers. That's it.
And they couldn't even get first downs off of turnovers.
All right. You need to talk about bars. You need to talk about the bar scene in Houston.
Well, I'm going to tell you about something that's very, very specific right now, and that is Tom's Watch Bar. This is a chance for you to go watch your Houston pro basketball team games with a bunch of other fans. Watch the home team basketball game. You can watch it anywhere, but you're going to have a lot more fun at Tom's Watch Bar. It's Tom's Watch Bar Red Nation Rallies at Green Street. And this is really going to be cool. Every Friday and Saturday home game, that's going to be your destination. Now, if you're going to the games, what they want you to do is you can park at Green Street and you're going to get it validated. Your parking's absolutely free. You're avoiding anywhere from $15 to $40 parking, depending on where you want to park, just by going. 2 hours before tip-off, Tom's will come alive with live DJs, team swag giveaways, themed cocktails, surprise guest appearances. That's going to happen all year long. And you can come early, park free at Green Street with Tom's validation, walk over with the crowd to the game, have a good time. And where are you going to post-game after a victory? You're going to do it at Tom's Watch Bar again. Every Friday and Saturday home game, when you have a home game like we have coming up, go party at Tom's Watch Bar pregame, postgame, or keep it there and watch the game there. It's Tom's Watch Bar at Green Street.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. It's
John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh my God, for some reason, sleeper Astros, the coldest celebration in Major League history, when Carlos said, this is my time.
The watch?
The watch.
Yeah.
He pointed to his watch. Yeah. This is my time.
It is.
Yeah, that was
I mean, Joey, what's the mega bat flip from Toronto? Joey.
Joey Bats.
Joey Batista. What a cool nickname, Joey Bats. That was one of the original big bat flips. That was one, too. You know, I was thinking about, you know, the media. See, and that's the thing. This whole media fuss about the Jacksonville press conference. You probably missed it. I mentioned it yesterday. But it's a lot like the unwritten rules of baseball. Baseball players know them, and baseball players care. Nobody else cares.
Yeah.
The media stuff, nobody else cares. Nobody knows them. They think they're stupid. Nobody cares. Unwritten rules of baseball, we don't know them. We don't care. We think most of them are stupid. It's the same kind of deal. But, yeah, the Carlos thing, in my lifetime of watching sports, the greatest celebrations are Carlos to the watch, Mario Elie kiss of death to the Phoenix bench. Obviously, Rock Boys, when Jacob Martin would get a sack during a 4-win season and go to Rock Boys.
No, that was the worst. That was the worst. Hey, are we just going to forget?
James?
No. They didn't. No, what about? Oh, yeah.
Wait. What is that, Del?
Oh, the three.
Oh, the cooking.
Yeah, James
cooking.
Cook.
Yeah.
But the three celebration.
Well, that was during Van Gundy's Rockets.
Yeah.
And they used to do this three, and then John
like
Barry.
They were rolling dice, but they had the three out there.
They had a three, and they'd shake three, and we asked, what does that mean? And John Barry goes, eh.
There was a stripper
who came around the stripper. Yeah, he says, and she was swinging around the pole doing this move with her hands. And so we were like, we're going to incorporate this. I'm like, oh, okay.
Are we just going to gloss over and not even bring up that last year the Texans played the Patriots and Drake May threw two interceptions? Okay. Are we just going to, the Texans beat them 41-21? And Drake May was a B.A. He got sacked four times.
Actually, Drake had a bunch of touchdowns against us, too.
He had three at the end.
Yeah, he had.
But he didn't get them until, he had three touchdowns.
Actually, he had his best statistical game of the year against us.
Well, his rating was 88, and CJ's was 100. So, okay. I mean, you be the judge.
Well, the interception.
Who was better? Who was a better quarterback? So, we got the better quarterback. We got a Drake May who's going to throw picks against the Texans, get sacked against the Texans. We go into one of the biggest games in NFL history last year, middle of the regular season, go in there and dice him and slice him. I mean, I'm worried about this now. We ain't worried about this. We ain't worried about this team. Got this one.
You know that CJ's top three pass catchers from that game aren't on the roster?
And Joe Mixon ran for 102.
Yeah, so he won't be playing. Stephon Diggs isn't available.
Tank Dell
won't be playing. I guess that was one of the games that Nico missed.
Listen, how about we lead with that? Nico missed the game, and the Texans still won.
What about all the other stuff I just mentioned?
That doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
It really doesn't matter. You got Dalton Schultz, who had four catches.
Feels good. That feels good to see.
You don't have Damian Pearson.
I've come to be,
Xavier Hutchinson had no catches in that game.
For some reason, I've come to just accept the fact that Dalton Schultz isn't going to block anyone ever. Mm-hmm. Because there are a lot of tight ends like that. That's fine. I actually am at peace with Dalton Schultz this year.
He's
catching. He's got that thing on his neck, that little collar thing that he wears. And the other day he had it on and a little neck kerchief thing. He catches everything thrown his way. He doesn't really drop a lot of passes. He gets critical catches in critical situations and third down throws. I'm at peace with Dalton Schultz being a catch-only tight end who really has no interest in even giving a mild chip off the line of scrimmage to a dominant pass rusher off the edge.
We don't care.
I'm like, oh, well.
You're all right with it.
Especially because Nick Chubb and Woody Marks are back there, and they're bulldogs.
I've seen him chip. He chips. Every once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, if he's close to the green, maybe.
You're exaggerating.
If he's close to the green, he might chip, but not a rusher.
Well, he chips. He chips every once in a while. I seen him actually bounce off of a guy once. So, I mean, stop already. Yep, here it is. Yahoo Sports calls mount for investigation against C.J. Stroud after Texans QB's five fumbles against Steelers. He actually didn't fumble five times. Two of them hit him in the chest when he wasn't looking. And
no, one of them just well, two of them he missed. Went, he one dropped. Of them he wasn't ready
for. For whatever reason, the NFL has decided aborted snaps
he didn't are, five
are
fumbles.
Considered
he five
fumbles per, for the fumbles tech, for the quarterback.
Three fumbles and two.
Well, he fumbled twice on one play.
He had
play.
One interception, and he had two fumbles.
Oh, no, no, no. Lost. That was a fumble, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
two where fumbles he was lost, one interception. Yeah. And he, but he fumbled five times.
Oh, wait, he did fumble five times. Yeah. Well, fumble four times.
Four.
I don't like counting that one, because that would did Andrew snap it when he wasn't supposed to?
He gets the
yeah, one. Aborted snaps go on the quarterback's
resume. Wow, that's right. I'm sorry. My bad. Five fumbles.
Yeah.
And an interception.
Yeah,
and what he's throwing games, he's fan dueling.
Well,
he's underdog.
Him.
They're
we're
not
investigating.
Don't listen to John. They're not really investigating. Le'Veon Bell jokingly called for it.
Yes. All right. There.
Who are you waving to?
I'm waving to Charlie.
Oh,
she's
by left. The way,
she's mad that Papa's not waving back.
Okay.
But all right. 713-780-3776 is the number. If you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5, we got over 2 hours left.
You know, I want to blame Lance for something.
Oh, again?
Yeah, no, right now, then we'll go to break. Because we were on track to hear from Jabari Smith about his bounce back and, you know, maybe talk some more Rockets. We got some sound from a pundit who thinks Ime may be wrong for the job. Yeah. And then he goes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring in our intern. And we've been off track ever since.
Ever since.
Well, it's a self-indulgent show sometimes.
Right. It kind of is. Hi, Charlie.
See, John's waving to a granddaughter. I'm bringing in interns. Rockets won in a hard-fought home game against the Bulls.
Yep. And we didn't even mention the Cougs, and we got good Cougs on, too. But right now we got woo!
Oh, he must be talking about my man. A green light offer, Sean. Although his latest... Hi, this is Sean from Greenlight Offer. I'm going to help you sell your house. Sean, we don't need that. We need that other energy. We need that kick people out of your house energy. We need to come in there and get people out by any means necessary. If they're, you know, most of the time, I don't think the issues are that someone's squatting in your home. Sean and Greenlight Offer will take care of that. But what they do is they buy your home with no hassle for you at all. If they need you to do something from a paperwork standpoint, they'll tell you exactly what they need done. You do it, and from there, they handle everything else. And they will give you a very fair cash price for your home with you having to do no showings for your home, no repairs, no remodeling to get it ready to go. Most people want a turnkey home where they can just step in and everything's good. Well, you know, it's harder to sell the ones that are not turnkey. And you'll sit there and have it on the market forever. You will have my man a green light offer. Sean will just come in and they'll buy these houses. And a lot of times people who have inherited a home from a loved one, they will sell their homes to green light offer. You have divorces when they need property dissolution very quickly and they want to split up the assets. Green light offer can come in and do that. You do nothing. It's hassle free for you. You just get the cash. Or maybe you've got a house that you're renting and you want to just get rid of that rental property and you want none of the hassles. Greenlight Offer as well. GreenlightOffer.com. Go to the website, GreenlightOffer.com. You can start the process, and you can even get an estimate on what you can make on your home. It's GreenlightOffer.com.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. Cougs won last night. They just kicked their ass. Apparently, I mean, Bob Huggins, about, I don't know, some time ago, made some comments. And since then, about the University of Houston, and since then, the Cougs have just been kicking West Virginia's ass every time they play.
Was it about them entering the Big 12? He said good luck to them or something?
Everyone who said that. Well, that was actually a lot of people thought that Big 12, like, yeah, fun's over, Cougs. Yeah. Party's over, Cougs. You're coming to a real conference.
They're 37-4 since they entered the Big 12, which was a better winning percentage than they had in the AAC.
You know what's funny? What's ironic is when University of Houston came into – my dad told me this. When they came into the Southwest Conference, everyone said the same thing.
Yeah.
Everyone thought, good luck. You're here with Texas at Texas A&M, and you're here with the big boys now.
Yeah.
Okay, and then University of Houston immediately won three of the next four Southwest Conference titles.
Well,
with a black quarterback, which was unheard of back then, except for Donnie Little at Texas for one year.
It's going to be tough. It's always tough, but this Big 12 is really, really good. Last night, Kansas beat the snot out of Iowa State, who was undefeated. Oklahoma State has had a bit of a resurgence, although Baylor beat them last night. I was watching basketball all over. The Big 12 is special. The Big 12 is really, really good. And Baylor goes to Oklahoma State, who has been playing really well, beats them, and Cougs just went to Baylor and just slapped them around. The Cougs are really, 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 really good. This basketball team is really good. And they won again last night, 77-48. Their coach, Hodge, he just was just like, hey, man, you get behind against these guys, and even when you have an open look, you're hurrying it because you're afraid of how quickly they're going to get there. They just contest everything. And they did again last. They were swarming last night. About 3 minutes left in the first half, West Virginia scored 5 points. And then they went on a little run where they hit a couple three
what?
Shots.
What?
Yeah, they had 5 shots. What about maybe 4 minutes left in the first half. It was a great night. And, you know, watching Chris Cenac, he's the other freshman. Everybody talks about Kingston Flemings. Well, Cenac hit a big three. There were no really big shots in this game. Although he did stop the run a little bit with a three from the corner. He also had another. But he is a rebound machine, and he's a freshman. Here's Kelvin talking about Chris Cenac yesterday. He's the tall freshman, number five, and he's really, really good.
That's a 6'10 kid that's out there guarding 6'6 guys at the 3-point line. You know, first of all, he's never played defense, and when he did, it was at the five. You know, and his defense was an acronym, HYM. You know what that means? Hope you miss. It's about how I would describe his defense. At least what I saw. Now, he's never played defense. Never had nobody told him to. But I told him that and this one I was recruiting, he said he liked to play with four. I said, I'd like to win a lottery. I mean, there's a lot of people like to do stuff they probably can't do. I don't know if you're going to be able to play the four. We'll give you a chance. But if you can't, you can't. You know? It's more important that we win than him failing at the four. I'm not going to put our team in jeopardy. But let me tell you something about Chris Cenac. I love that kid. I love him. He never has a bad day. And I have wore him out. Milo's and Emmanuel tell you, he's never, ever not looked me in the eye. He's never had 1 ounce of bad body language. He's never, ever been late. He's always one of the first ones there, last ones to leave. He is like a huge sponge. Wherever he's playing in the NBA down the road, that team is going to be lucky to get him. I mean, he is an awesome, awesome young man.
That is high praise from that guy. That is high praise. Love that he's coachable. That he said, I have worn him out. And he never, ever didn't look me in the eye. That is so funny. That's him, H-Y-M. Hope you miss.
That's hilarious.
Him defense. I love that. Coach is so good. I mean, the other coaches in the Big 12 just got to go. When you play the Cougs, it's just different, bro. It is just different.
Yeah.
You are going to get it's 40 minutes of hell. that is really the 40 minutes of hell, as opposed to Nolan Richardson's.
Well, Nolan Richardson's was...
No, that was pretty good, yeah.
That was a lot of hell in that, too.
Yeah, there was, yeah.
They would press you the whole way. Houston doesn't just press the whole way, but they press and trap, and Nolan was doing all that stuff, but... Houston tries to just beat you in a half court. Like, they want to get in your face and say, we're going to have a fist fight. This ain't going to be any kind of traps. Or no. We're literally going to, on ball, we're going to be more resilient than you are.
Yep.
God, I love Kelvin Sampson. It's got to be tough playing for him. I remember when I was at Tulane, there was my buddy was G.J. Hunter. He was from Dallas, and I got to be friends with him because we were both Texas, and he was a two guard. And he had me come out to a practice. He was going to come home. With me, my mom was going to feed him. And it was Christmas time. A lot of guys were leaving. And Tulane had a practice. And I went in there, and Perry Clark was the head coach. And they had this guy named Joe Pop. Or was it Joe Pash? Joe Pop, I think his name was. He was this big guy who never played. I mean, he just didn't get a play. He was a 7-footer. And he just didn't get a play. And Tulane had a pretty decent... That was the first year they played basketball. They were okay their first year. They were back from Point Shaving, so they just got their basketball program back. I'm at this practice, and I'm up in the stands, and Perry Clark, the head coach, says some of the worst things to Joe Pash. Like, I hope your parents never come to senior day, never come to a game. They'll never see you play. You're the worst player I've ever coached in all my years. I don't know why we recruited you. This is in one practice. And it was the most blistering stuff I've ever heard. Then he got on GJ, but it was more like coaching stuff. And GJ, and I remember talking to an assistant coach there, Ron Everhart, who coached Ron Everhart and Todd Bozeman. Actually, Todd Bozeman became a pretty big coach. And they were his assistant coaches. And Ron Everhart, they used to come in and try to bully us around when we played pickup basketball with them. And Everhart told me one time that he said he was rough on GJ because he knew he could take it. There's certain players coaches know are mentally tough, and they will, to make an example to the rest of the team, they know that they can say things to that guy a certain kind of way, and that guy will respond okay. He won't beat him up. I think with Joe Pash, he figured, this guy's so bad, I don't care if he quits. And maybe he was trying to make him quit, actually, is really when I think about it. But I wonder if coaches – I bring that up because
– I don't know that they're like that anymore. You can't be as
– I'm not saying Kelvin's abusive. That was abusive. No, yeah. I'm not saying Kelvin's abusive.
Yeah.
But what I am saying is
– oh, he's tough. He's tough on
these guys. A lot of these guys will just portal.
Right.
Yeah, portal.
Shoot, nobody goes in a – well – Trayvon Mark went in the portal, but for the most part, Cougs stay Cougs, man. And Ramon Walker, how long has he been there? And he doesn't even play. He gets a couple minutes a night now. Maybe.
Isn't that crazy?
It's so crazy. And then and Lath, Cedric Lath, the big guy that got some time last year because JoJo got hurt. He just sits there, and it's okay. I mean, it is incredible, incredible how these kids are so – and in this time – that they are so disciplined, and yet even when they're not playing, they're going to stick with coach. It's like nothing else you'll see
back
in college right now.
We'll get to Jabari Smith, but speaking of that, there's a big vote that they had. Something very big is coming to college football, a big change trying to battle the portal, and it was kind of interesting. I read it, and I thought it was...
Well, there's another one, too. There's something else, too, that we can talk,
okay.
we can talk
we'll,
about.
Okay, we'll hit on that because this one's going to have some change. And we want to hear from – I want to hear from the analyst who came after Ime Udoka. Who are we going to have to fight? Who do we need to fight?
Watch that. Watch this. Watch this. We'll show you. Right now,
don't say it's Pert.
Right now, though – no, it's always a big Pert. And right now, we're talking about property taxes. We're talking about – I mean, I don't know how many times I looked at my property taxes and I'm like, are you kidding me? You're kidding me, right? I can't. This is just ridiculous, and I got to fight it. I wish I'd known about Own Well when I was fighting my property taxes here. I really do. I wish I had Own Well on my side because I tried to fight him. I beat him, and I lost to him. And it was like, oh, it's just so deflating. And by the way, it's terrible when you don't fight your taxes and you let it because – it's going to keep on going up and up and up and up and up, and you're going to be giving the government money that you should not be giving them. Own Well handles everything. From the time you call them, it takes 3 minutes to sign up, and then Own Well does the rest. I need you to go to ownwell.com. You will save, I mean, on average, $1,100 on average. That's what Own Well wins on the average. So there's a lot more. There's a little less sometimes, but there's you never know how much you could save. If you're looking for the best way to not pay property taxes, stop overpaying on your property taxes. Get your free savings estimate right now at ownwell.com. That's ownwell.com to see how much you can save. Ownwell.com.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9, HD2.